God, we are so thankful that your mercies are new every morning. God, we're thankful for your blessings that you pour on us, that for the mercies that you pour out on us. God, we thank you that we can walk with boldness and confidence, Father, because of who you've called us to be and who you've created us to be, Father, and that is your children, and that you've called us to be blessed. So God, we thank you for the blessings we can walk in. God, we thank you for the opportunities to share your love and to experience your love, Father, in new and real ways. God, we thank you that we can be encouraged and blessed by each other. And God, we thank you that we can experience your blessings each day. God, we're thankful that you are faithful. And we thank you that we can trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. I feel like I'm dark. Am I dark? Well, I'm not. I'm suntanned, I know. Can we turn this light on, Ella? There we go. There, isn't that better? I feel like I'm much brighter now. Rick, am I brighter? Brighter. It's beautiful. So we are in our summer series called Reaching Out. And for me, this has been an exciting series, I think, because as we've talked about, we've wanted to prepare for, we've been open the whole time, but we prepare for what the allow the government, if I could speak clearly, what the government's going to allow us to do. We've pushed and done as much as we can as far as ministry in our community, and now we're getting ready to start kicking off our ministries again where we can feed people, we can love people, we can bless people in different and unique ways like we did in the past with respect to our parent and top play cafes. And in order to effectively execute those in our community and do other ministries in our community, we need you guys. We need you guys to step up and to press in. So that's the whole idea behind this, is just reaching out. And that's the premise of this series. Now we're talking about our gifts, I guess. So we talked about in the first week of this about increasing, succeeding, and prospering. And what does that mean? What does that look like? And the church, according to the New Testament, is to equip the saints for the work of your ministry. So that's what we're talking about now. We're talking about what is your gift. Because every one of us is here and is being equipped to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to share the gospel, to share the love of Jesus that we've already experienced in our everyday life. And we need people to do that who are good in business, who are successful in business. We need people like that, right? We need people who are influential in business. We need people who are influential in the medical field. We need people who are influential in politics. We need people who are influential in this church, in education, in the arts, in music, in movies, because we need to make an impact wherever we go. If we're just influential inside of our four walls, boy, what is the sense of having a church? See, here within these four walls, we're supposed to get built up, encouraged, taught, told what our gifts are, or talked about, I guess, what our gifts are. But then we're supposed to take our giftings and we're supposed to bless each other and we're supposed to bless our community, aren't we? That's what I think the church's purpose is we're here for the world, to love the world, to tell them about Jesus. All of these areas, though, in the world around us, they need great gifted Christian leaders to be stepping up and be walking boldly in their gifts. We need, as Jesus told us, to occupy till he comes back. That means not just hiding under a blanket, oh, it's dark, it's scared, but it means taking ground, doesn't it? It's not sitting there hiding. I remember being a kid in a lightning storm. I will never admit this when I was a kid, but hiding from lightning and thunder because it was scary. The world's not scary, people. We should be the ones that are advancing. We should be the thunder and lightning that the enemy is like, oh, they're coming. Oh my goodness, Gary's coming. Let me get under this blanket. Nathan's coming. Right? That's what the world, that's what the enemy should be doing. We shouldn't be saying, oh, the enemy. We need to be taking up space, or not just taking up space, we need to occupy. We need to be advancing the kingdom. We need to be taking ground for the kingdom in all areas. We need to be walking in the blessings and the things that are already ours. And so last week, as I said, we started talking about giftings. And over the next while of summer, we are going to be talking about what is your gift. And I'm just, it's not a complex message. It's a simple message of here's what this gift looks like. Maybe you fit in it, maybe you don't, but maybe it'll help you identify others that have that gift. And you can say, hey, I think you got the gifting of apostleship in you. You should pray about that. That's what we should be doing as the church, is encouraging each other to walk in our gifts and not say, no, I'm the prophet here. Right? We're supposed to be encouraging each other to walk in the gifts, the things that God has given us. This is not a competition. This is not the Olympics, and I'm not giving you a medal. You're the best prophet here. You're the best apostle. You're the best at administration. See, there was a time I wanted to be the best at administration or the best at this or the best at that, but I've come to realize that we aren't here to be the best. We're supposed to be striving and occupying, yes, but we're supposed to be helping others and each other achieve what Christ has called us to do. So we're going to be talking about things like the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And today we're going to be talking about pastor or shepherds. And we're going to be talking about things like the gift of administration, the gift of giving, the gifts of mercy and helps, craftsmanship, intercession, hospitality, exhortation, interpretation, words of wisdom and knowledge, gift of healings, and some others. I want this to be a season of growth in our gifts. And like I said last week, this is going to be a completely different series than what we normally might do. But I think it's a critical, critical, critical time for us as a church, us as the church of Jesus, of us trying to advance and occupy. So last week was apostleship, this week pastors and shepherds. And no, you're not all getting a farm and a bunch of sheep. Don't think that. Oxen, actually, is what you're getting. And donkeys. I don't know, you can't shepherd donkeys. I know, come on. Let's not be silly. Goats, yeah. So we're going to read again where we read last week, Ephesians 4, 7 to 16. And it says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, that's us, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective work by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So when we're walking in our gifts, we are able to effectively function properly as the body and grow together. And it's not just grow in numbers. That's going to happen when we're growing and when we're walking in the giftings that we've been given. But what's going to happen is we're going to grow spiritually. Okay? Is it hot in here? No? I feel hot. I'm just going to... Are you okay if I take my sweater off? I have a shirt underneath. Don't worry. I just want to Normally, I don't wear this heavy of a shirt under, so I really was hot. But I thought you guys would appreciate my shirt. So the gift of pastor or shepherd is one of the five leadership gifts, one of the five-fold ministry that we talk about. We talk about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers that fall under that five-fold ministry. And those that are in the five-fold ministry, those that are functioning under that five-fold ministry, our job is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. The job of this is to edify the body and build each other up so that we can move forward and grow in ministry as a church. It's a critical piece for us to understand. This is not I'm a pastor or I'm a prophet or I'm an evangelist. This is our job, and we are going to equip each other so that we can go out and do the work of God. And all, further than that, it's so we can be in and do the work of God. Do you know what I'm saying? Both are critical. Both are important. Both are necessary. So what is a pastor or a shepherd? What is the role of a pastor? For this service, for today, for Sunday church today, I'm going to use the term pastor and shepherd interchangeably because it's a mouthful to say pastor and shepherd. So if I say one, assume I'm meaning either or. It's just terminology here. So how does it, and I guess one other point is, how does it relate to being a father? See, the gift of the pastor or shepherd is a critical piece for the church. It's so important. It is someone who has the strength and passion to care for the people of the church. This is an area that I'm hired as the pastor. And this is an area I'm still learning and growing in because we can't ever say we've arrived fully. We're going to continually grow. I'm working at understanding how to care for the church and care for you and care for the community each day. If I tell you I've arrived, I am, yeah, I was just say BSing, but lying's probably much better to say on TV, right? I wouldn't be telling you the truth, and I'm going to continue to grow. And in that, as I'm growing in this gifting, I ask for patience from you. Just like as you grow in your gifting, I will give grace and patience to you. Is that fair? That seems fair. But this is someone who has the strength and passion to care for the people of the church. And pastors are a spiritual covering for the people of the church. That is part of my responsibility, is the spiritual covering of this church. And likewise, whether I always agree with my spiritual covering of the PAOC, that'll get me in trouble, it's okay. Whether I agree or disagree on certain parts, they're my spiritual covering. And I will operate and function within that. Sometimes pressing the borders. That'll also get me in trouble. No, it won't. If it does, that's okay. But pastors are the spiritual covering for the people of the church. We're here to provide that protection, that covering. And the picture of the shepherd was a common profession in the days of the Bible. And that had many implications that people would understand, which is why we use this term shepherd. It's a very old profession and one that was done, or a job that was done in the Old Testament, New Testament, and still done today. See, shepherds loved and they cared for their sheep so much like a parent cares for a child. So a spiritual shepherd is called to pray for, to direct, as well as fight off the wolves and the attacks of the enemy. That's what the job of the shepherd is. Or of the people, not just the enemy, but also the, as the Bible speaks of wolves being false teachers, false prophets, or people pretending to be Christians, or people laying in wait within the church to try to cause issues. That's part of the pastor's job, is to try to defend and protect the body. Maybe it's to protect and those pretending to care about the church that are just actually here for themselves and their own pat on the back. And their aim is to create discord. The pastor is there to help maintain the unity of the body. And they're mentioned both in the Old and New Testament. And the pastor's role in both the Old and New Testament is very much the same. And we'll read here Ezekiel 22, 26 to 29. It says, her princes in her midst are like wolves tearing the prey to shed blood, to destroy people, and to get dishonest gain. Her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbaths, so that I am profaned among them. Her prophets plastered them with untempered mortar, seeing false visions and divining lies for them, saying, thus says the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land have used oppressions, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor and needy, and they wrongfully oppose or oppress the stranger. Interesting, hey? I'm trying to see my notes because I think I forgot to move something. And then in the New Testament, we have Matthew 7, 15 to 20, and you'll notice a little similarity here. It says, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by your fruits you will be known to them. So beware of false prophets. Beware of false people that are coming in the midst in this sheep's clothing, but are really ravenous wolves coming in to try to cause distrust, disunity, a breakdown of the system of unity that Christ has created us for. Pastors and shepherds serve others by nurturing and mending the issues, mending life issues. And the pastors has this special anointing in them to lead, to care for, and guide toward onward spiritual maturity. This is something that is so critical, that as a pastor, and I'm not saying the pastor, the job pastor, Pastor Dave, I'm saying the pastors in us, the pastor, the shepherd, there are those of us that have that gift, not just the guy up here on Sunday morning. There are those of us within this body that carry that mantle of pastor. And it's an important one. See, it's the pastor who points the body to Christ and walks with those who are under their care. And not always does the pastor know when somebody is struggling. So we ask those of us that are the pastor, if you're struggling, come talk to us. Some of us do a very good job of hiding when we're struggling too. Did you know that? And our job as pastor is to care, to love, to nurture, to walk with you, and walk with you and journey with you as you walk and journey towards Christ. That's why when I offer people on Sunday mornings an opportunity to accept Jesus, I say, contact me because I want to walk with you. I want to journey with you. I want to walk with you as you walk towards Christ. That's what I want. That's the role of the pastor. The pastor does this while they also are walking towards Christ, while they're journeying on their journey to be a more refined pastor, if you will. Those with this gift are empowered to build up and care for people of the church, giving guidance and support to the believers. And a pastor looks at the believers in their midst and seeks to direct, to comfort, and care for them while protecting and defending them from wolves. Because the world's full of wolves. The church is full of wolves too. And sometimes those wolves, well, the wolves from the church are actually the wolves from the world that have snuck in, and people have given them a stand to stand on or allowed them to operate in their midst as a wolf. And we want that. That's part of the role of the pastor, is to try to discern that and walk with that wolf and either walk them out the front door or walk with them and walk with them on a journey towards Christ while not allowing them to affect the body. 1 Peter 5, 1-4 says, the elders who are among you, I exhort you, I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. That's a pretty important one. See, it's not, and I'll pause for a second. See, I'm not here to speak so you can pay admission in the offering plate and feel good about your time and say, I've committed my duty, I've done my job for the week, I've gone to church, I'm good, I've got my fire insurance. But it's, I don't want to just see this place fill up for the sake of, oh, look what I did. People actually wanted to hear me ramble. No, I want to see this place fill up because that means we made an impact in this community. We made an impact with each other. That's really why we should be caring about how many people are in our seats and the fact that, yes, we're seeing more people come in. That's what I care about. Could I say this? And this might sound really bad, but I, forgive me if it sounds bad. I could give two flips about the people that are going to that church and try to get them to come to this church or that church and try to get them to come here. I want them to be fully satisfied and fully growing in themselves and in what Christ has called them to be at whatever church they're at. I don't want to grow this church with people that are jumping church. I want to see this church grow because people are coming to accept Jesus in new and real ways. That's what we want. Good, I haven't got any tomatoes or rocks thrown at me, so that's good. Yeah, I did make you leave them at the door. We have a security scanner now for tomatoes. Where was I? We'll just read it again. How about that? The elders who are among you, I exhort you. I am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd comes, a shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. See, far too often, and don't worry, I'm going to jump around here now for a second. Far too often in churches do we see pastors who are dictatorial in style, who are dictatorial in how they lead, who are oppressive to their people and not allowing their people to walk in their gifts. And that is the last thing that I want to see us as a church be. I don't want to be a dictatorial leader, a dictator. Let's just call me that. I don't want to be a dictator type leader. But I want to be a leader who leads and protects the flock. See, there's a difference there. There are things that you need to do that some people may say, well, you're just trying to control us. No, we're not actually. We're trying to protect and journey with you and look for what's best and what we feel the Lord has led us into what is best. Do you see the difference, though? It's critical. I've seen far too often people get offended because they can't do their thing. And sometimes their thing isn't where the church is going at that point in time. It's critical. See, the role of the pastor, the gift of pastor or a shepherd, is so critically important in us, in our body today. It is important. It should never be a role that is diminished. Society has taken direct aim at the pastor, at the role of shepherd. And do you know why? You know how I know this? First off, how many attacks have you seen against pastors? Online, on TV. There's pastors all over the place. Some you may agree with, some you may not. But the fact is the Lord has placed these pastors in place, put these pastors in place, are in places where they can either step in and walk with what Christ has given them already. He has given them the gifts. He has given them the blessings and the ideas and the mindset. And they can either walk in and operate within these gifts, or they can't. Or they won't, I guess. I'm not saying God is putting pastors in churches. I'm saying God has given people the desire to walk in the church and to do stuff in the church. But why do I say that? Why else do I say that the world has taken direct aim at pastors? Because pastor is the same as what dads are called to be. See, as the man, you are the head of your house. You are the pastor, the priest of your home. And sometimes there's situations where moms have to step in and it's a challenge for them because they weren't actually designed to function in that matter. But sometimes they have to step up and be that pastor, that priest of that home. And it's a challenging situation for those moms. So for those moms that are stepping in and stepping up, we applaud you. We thank you. And I never will diminish that role. Just like there are times that when we have Mother's Day, we have fathers that are stepping into that role because their roles are very different, right? Moms and dads' roles are very different. And sometimes there's moms and sometimes there's dads that are trying to fill both roles. And for that, we walk with you. We want to journey with you and talk to you and explain to you some of the other side of that role that you are learning on the fly or that you've had to learn, and we can walk with you. That's why our single moms ministry that we do for me is so critical, because we need to empower and we need to talk about this gift with moms, because it's a critical piece, and I'm going to talk about why in a few moments. But society has taken direct aim at the man, and this is where I talk about this, why I think that this is a direct attack upon pastorship. Is that a word? We're going to say it's a word. But being a pastor. Society has taken direct aim at the man, at the dad, at the husbands, and done so much to diminish the role of dad, to diminish the role of husband, to diminish the role of pastor of their home. Society has taken direct aim at them and as them being the man and the pastor of their house. See, dads have that unique job of providing the sort of leadership and the leadership, the same leadership that the pastor provides in the church. Men are called to be pastors of their home. And the Gospel Coalition summarizes the importance of the dad and the leadership that they provide is this. And I want everybody to understand and listen to this. And this isn't just the Gospel Coalition having this type of a statement. This has been time and time again. It says, in short, if a father does not go to church, no matter how faithful his wife's devotions, only one child in 50 will become a regular worshiper. One in 50. If a father does go regularly, regardless of the practice of the mother, between 2/3 and 3/4 of the children will become churchgoers. If a father goes but irregularly to church, regardless of his wife's devotion, between 1/2 and 2/3 of the offspring will find themselves coming to church. A non-practicing mother with a regular father, sounds like fathers are irregular, but we're going to just read with me. With a regular father, we'll see a minimum of 2/3 of her children ending up in the church. In contrast, a non-practicing father with a regular mother will see 2/3 of her children never darken the doors of the church. That's pretty astonishing, isn't it? This is just statistics, basic statistics. So the results are shocking, but they should not be surprising. They're about as politically incorrect as it is possible to be. But they are simply confirmed what psychologists and criminologists, educationists, and traditional Christians know. You cannot buck biology of the created order. A mother's role will always remain primary in terms of intimacy, care, and nurture, which we talked about when we talked about love in May. Without the slightest, the toughest man may support a tattoo dedicated to the love of their mom without the slightest embarrassment or sentimentality. No father can replace that relationship, but it's equally true when a child begins to move into that period of differentiation from home and engagement with the world out there, he and she looked increasingly to the father for his role model. Where the father is indifferent, inadequate, or just plain absent, the task of differentiation and engagement is much harder. When children see that the church is a woman and children thing, they will respond accordingly by not going to church or going much less. Curiously, both adult women as well as men who conclude subconsciously that dad's absence indicates that church, that going to church is not really a grown-up activity in terms of commitment. A mother's role may be to encourage and confirm, but it is not primary to her adult offspring's decision. Mother's choices have dramatically less effect upon children than their father's. And without him, she has little effect on the primary lifestyle choices of offspring make in their religious observances. Her major influence is not on regular attendance at all, but on keeping her irregular children from lapsing altogether. This is, needless to say, a vital work, but even then, without the input of the father, regular or irregular, the proportion of regular lapses goes from 60 to 40% to 40 out of 60. This is why the world has gone after the man. This is from the Gospel Coalition. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. That's great. That gives us the science behind it. That gives us the statistical information. But it doesn't give us the actual answer. And this is why. Because that's for a traditional church. Okay? We are not a traditional church here. We are a church that is here to walk with people and grow with people and encourage people and bless people and love people and walk with you no matter where you are. And that's why I say that, because not all churches will do that. Not all churches will pick you up and say, come with us. Let's go with you. In a couple churches ago, that was my primary function. We had a group of men in our church that we had, lots. I would say in our church of 1,000 people, we probably had 60, 70 single moms coming to a single mom's night out like what we do here. And you know who ran the cooking stuff, the kids side of ministry, to walk with the kids and journey with the kids and do things with the kids? You know who did that? Yes, the men. My men, the men of the church. We stepped up because we understand the importance and the help that we can provide. Not just to give the moms a break, but to be a male figure, a godly male figure in these kids' life. And that's something we have the opportunity as the church to rise up and stand up and be a godly male figure, because sometimes that's what's needed. And you know what? We even did this in cases where the family was still together. There wasn't a single mom. And we still stepped in because the dad did not want anything to do with the church. And we provided a godly, manly influence into that boy's life and that girl's life. And showed them what it meant to treat a woman and a boy, or teach the boys how to treat a woman, the girls how they should be treated, is what I'm trying to say. Do you know what I'm saying? See, the church has an important, vital role here. And we need to understand what God has instructed for the men and what God has instructed for the women. And the role of the man is that priest. And we need to step into our roles. But I'm going to go back to my reason why I think now that the world is going after the man. See, Hollywood TV shows have made a living out of trying to make men look stupid. Haven't they? They've made men look stupid. They've made men look weak. They've made men look like beer-drinking homers, right? They've made men look like George Jetson. I remember as a kid watching the Jetsons. That makes me sound older. But I remember watching the Jetsons. And they made old George look like an idiot, didn't they? What about loudmouth Fred Flintstone? Old loudmouth Flintstone or stupid lovable Barney Rubble. Right? These are classics. And we laughed at them. And they gave us this image of a man that is not worth his weight. We'll say weight. I don't know the right word, but his weight. He's not worth what he should be doing. He's an idiot. He's a loudmouth. He's a jerk. He's this. He's whatever. But that's not what we've been called to be as men. They don't want men to rise up and be who God called us to be. We've been called to be more than what the United States Army has called their people. We are, men in the church are tactical beings, and we are here to lead and to walk and to journey together and for our women and children within the church. Are we not? We need to remember our role as men, as pastors, as priests. We need to lean in. So we need to lean into things like being with people and ministering to people, loving people. We need to think. This is a hard one for me, okay? Really hard one for me, because I'm a doer. Thinking about people and not tasks. It's huge. I don't know how many times growing up my dad had a little task. Yeah, well, I'll play catch with you when I'm done this or this. You know what I mean? It's critical to thank people, to take the time. If you don't have the time, make the time. Rick Johnson, actually, the thing that changed my life, because I was not always super dad, right? Like, I didn't just get the shirt and all of a sudden one day I wasn't always this great as a dad. Just kidding. You know I was. No, I wasn't always this type of a person. I didn't care about people. I cared about making a bunch of money, making a name for myself, and advancing the kingdom of Dave. Okay? That's what I was about. Is that fair? And I came to understand when Rick Johnson was at a Promise Keepers event in Sherwood Park. This would have been long, long, long time ago. And he said, do you know how to spell, and I might have showed this to you, do you know how to spell love to your kids? And I was like, you're an idiot. That's what was my first thought. Of course I do. L-O-V-E. Moron. And he said, T-I-M-E. And I was broken. And I still suck at this sometimes. I'm sure lots of you do because I get task-oriented, task-focused. And we need to focus on time. And see, this time isn't just with our kids. This time is with each other. This time is with Jesus. Spending time growing. See, because God, Jesus, our Father, however you want to address God, loves us. And there was a time in my life I didn't fully understand that either. Of course, I heard it, I read it, but I didn't understand it. It wasn't until after my dad had and I had fixed our relationship when I was older in life. I missed out on a lot of stuff. We didn't have a good relationship. There was lots of screaming and some four-letter words or whatever you use to say we cussed at each other. It wasn't great, but it wasn't until we started to actually grow. And here's the thing that changed with my dad. When my dad got sick with meningitis in 2000 and he was supernaturally healed, his life changed. My dad was a jerk before then to me. If he was still alive, he'd probably tell you the same, because I know after he passed away, my mom said to me, Lots, you know your dad loved you, right? And it's sad that she would have to remind me of that. But it's because early in our life, up until I was almost 20, I didn't even know my dad loved me. And I couldn't understand the Father's love. I struggled with it. And it was so critical for me to come to the realization that my dad loved me. Because when I understood that my dad loved me, it didn't matter where we were in our relationship, to know that he actually loved me helped me understand that God loves me, for me. God loves me no matter what I've done, what I've said, how I acted. He's not like my dad that's going to yell at me. All he wants to say is, come here, let me give you a hug. That's what God says. We don't need to earn God's love. He just loves us. And when I understood, when I actually physically got to experience that with my dad and understand, it really helped me along my walk. Not 100%, But it was amazing to hear after he passed away, he wanted you to know how much he loved you. I'm rambling, I'm sorry. It's important for us to understand and trust God. And as within the church, the pastors, not just this guy, the pastors that are in this room, we're here to show the Father's love to you as well, to each person here. That's our job. And sometimes, like last week when we talked, sometimes I need you guys to wrap your arms around me and pick me up and say, we love you, Pastor. We love you. We're here for you. Right? And that's my job too. And that's a reciprocation of affection. Anyways, back to the message. We need to lean into things. We need to model a lifestyle as pastors that shows what it means to be a follower of Christ. A follower of Christ. We need to develop trust through long-term relationships, through being there when people need you, through when somebody has a need in their life, they can trust you to call you and say, Dave, this is what's going on. And I'll be like, yep, I'm there. Meet me at the church. Meet me here. Let's meet. To be an influencer. See, the world has really gone crazy with this idea of being an influencer. And people are doing it on Instagram and all these different types of social media networks. But we have an opportunity as a church to be a true influencer for God. And we, as the church, as followers of Jesus, as pastors, we need to be as faithful in our defense as our sheep as we are in our care for you. We need to be defending you as much as caring for you. And pastors need to be a guide, we need to be proactive, and we need to be supportive. I'm going to invite Mary up, because I'm basically done. And it's really, I believe, as those with the pastoral gift, those that have that calling on their lives, those of whatever you want to call it, those that are the pastor, and those that are dads, the number one thing to stay away from. This is, in my mind, there's two big things to stay away from, I guess, but the biggest one is to not abuse your influence. Because when you're not abusing your influence and you're just stepping in with love and care, man, it's a beautiful thing to see happen. But as I said earlier, far too many churches, too many organizations, too many places, people abuse their influence. And what happens when they abuse their influence is they abuse those that they are in authority of, are supporting, are walking with. That's what happens when you're abusing your influence. And it's not a matter of doing things in love, but it's a matter that people start doing things as an act of manipulation, as an act of intimidation. It's an act of abuse. Nothing should ever be done in abuse. Not discipline, not talking, not how we treat others, not how we care for those that are under us. And I don't say that as a dictator. I say that as somebody that's been put in your care, or you're in somebody's care. It should always be done in love. So, I want to encourage you today that if you feel that you are called, that you have this pastoral gift on your life, I want you to step out, and not today, right now, but call me. Let's talk. If you are in need of pastoral care, call me and tell me. Because I would love to talk. Biblically, it's what I'm here for. As part of my gift is to love you and walk with you and care for you. Just like if you're called to this pastoral ministry, it's you're there to walk and talk and journey with people. Because it's about people. And it's not about tasks. It's about love and building up, rather than intimidation and manipulation. It's an important role that we have as pastors, as we have as fathers, as we have as leaders, to step up. And like I said, sometimes some of us have to do both jobs. And know that we, as the as your church, are here for you. Because I'll tell you, I'm going to jump back for a second because I'm all over the place now anyway, so I might as well finish the service out all like that. When my dad had stepped away from the church and we were not really on talking terms, he and I, it was the church that stepped in for my mom and walked with my mom through that stuff. And it's the role that we can do as the church. It's important that we do that as the church. I wear this shirt, not just for my 5 kids and my wife, but I wear this shirt for you guys. Some of you I'm younger than, some of you I'm older than, but I still wear this shirt for you guys. I want to be your super dad, your super pastor, your super leader. And I wear it for you guys. Okay? Those of you that, doesn't matter, I'm everywhere anyway. When my dad and I did not have this great relationship, I had my grandfather to walk with me. And I had people in my life that walked with me. Take those people and walk with them. Take those people that are willing to walk with you and walk with them, okay? Doesn't matter your age. Doesn't matter if you're 75 and you need a hug from somebody that is a dad or somebody that is there for you like a dad. It doesn't matter if you're 3 and you need somebody to walk with you as your dad, or if you're anywhere in between. If you're 100 to 1, I still wear this shirt for you. And I'm here for you. I'm here for all of you. It's an important thing within the church. And it's awesome to know that I'm not the only pastor in this church. Did you know that? I don't have to wear it all. I don't have to bear it all. But I'm willing to. I'm willing to be there for you guys. I am here for you guys. Would you guys pray with me? Father God, right now we come before you and we thank you, God. God, we thank you for the dads in this church, Father. God, we thank you for the grandpas that are represented in this church. God, we thank you for the moms that have had to serve as dads in this church, or who now have to serve as dads, Father, and are represented in this body. God, we thank you for them. God, right now we lift them up to you, God. God, we praise you and thank you for their willingness to stand up and stand in the gap and love their kids, love those that are under their covering, Father, and walking with them and encouraging them, Father, so that they can experience all that you have for them. God, we thank you for those that are just hurting right now, God. We lift them up to you. Father, we pray right now that you would just touch hearts, encourage them. God, right now we pray for each and every individual in this room that they would know your love in a new and real way, Father. God, that they would experience your love in a real way. And that they would come to you for that love and that encouragement, God. Father, that as a church, we would be there for them. That we would be there for each other. So God, we thank you. We love you. We honor you. God, we thank you that you are the perfect example and the perfect dad that we need whenever we need it. God, that you walk with us, that you journey with us, that you lead us, that you direct us, that you hug us, you touch our hearts, Father. God, we thank you. Thank you. Father, as we, each of us are in this journey of understanding our gifting, Father, I pray that today we would start stepping into your word and reading scripture and seeking out the gifts that you've given us and where you've called us to be, God. God, we love you. And God, we honor you in Jesus' precious name. And Father, right now as we prepare to go out for the week, God, and do your work out in the streets, Father, I pray that we would walk forward knowing that we are loved, we are cared for, and that we can do so boldly. So God, lead us and guide us this week. Father, let us be an encouragement to each other. And God, give us opportunities to pick up the phone and call each other, shoot a text, God, and just share your love with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless. Have a fantastic, beautiful day, and we will see you next week.